Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Okay, so back to the Lions in a sec. We haven't talked about the play last night at the end of the Tiger game, and I know the Tigers are playing low-leverage baseball pretty much the rest of the way, but they were on the brink of sweeping Seattle in Seattle.
Yep.
Which would have been a rather unexpected development.
Well, Seattle was in first place in the AL West going into the series.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Tigers won the first two games, and then they lost first place to Houston. And now I believe that after they beat the Tigers, are they tied with Houston now in the West? It's they are tied with Houston in the West now.
So that game last night, the Tigers are up 3-1, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. And a line drive to Ryan Vallade with two outs.
Two strikes.
If he lets that ball drop, you know, it's a line drive in front of him. He's got to charge hard. If he lets the ball drop, two runs probably score.
And ties the game.
There is a chance because it was hit so hard. Two outs, runners are going on contact. I suppose there's a chance they could field a line drive and fire it home and get the game tying run at home. A chance. But he dove for it and just basically whiffed. His dive, the trajectory of the ball, the height of the ball, the height of his glove, everything about it said this could be a game-ending diving catch.
He did not match the glove to the ball. The ball ends up being underneath his glove. He was there in time to make the play. He just misjudged it. Mm-hmm. And A.J. Hinch said afterwards he didn't get a good first step. The key to that play, making that play, and it's a makeable play, is to get a good first step. He didn't get a good first step, so he's already against it. He lays out for it and unfortunately doesn't make the play. It goes underneath him, rolls all the way to the wall, and it ends up scoring all three runs, and the Tigers lose on that play because it's a walk-off. They don't have to do anything more. And it was really unfortunate because they had gotten great pitching last night. You know, Hanafy comes in there, throws a couple of scoreless innings, and then Sammons comes in, and he did a fantastic job with, I think, four innings of work. He gave up just a solo home run, and they're going through the bullpen. Holton gets the job done in the eighth inning with a double play ball, and then starts the ninth inning, but doesn't start it well. I mean, gave up a walk or a hit to start things off. They take him out, and then they just, here comes Will Vest. And Vest got into a jam. Couple guys on, nobody out, but then strikes out back-to-back batters. And then walks the next guy on seven pitches, I think. And then now you get bases loaded. He's got two strikes early and throws a pitch lower outside, and batter just kind of reaches out, hits a line drive, and clears the bases. It's unfortunate because they had it. And if this were a game of consequence for this team, we'd be all over it today.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the way that season's gone, you know, that loss makes it, now they're six games below 500. But what they can walk away is knowing that they just beat Seattle in a best of three series, which you're going to take any win that you can from here on out. I've said before, I think August is going to be a tough month, but it looks like next week they'll get Carpenter and Green back, which should help the offense. I told you with that's crazy stat. They're 46-16 when they score four runs or more. Getting those two guys back in the lineup should add more offense and give more opportunities to score four so they can win games at a high clip. But it could be tough without pitching.
Riley Green makes that catch, right?
Well, Riley Green would be playing left field. It's not right. It'd be Wenzel Perez. But Perez got the night off from the field. He was DH last night. So other things you could do, you know, if you wanted to do defensive replacements, another thing that threw a little monkey wrench in it was that Matt Vierling had to leave the game. I think in the eighth inning, he had some back spasms. So Gio Urshela came in to play third base. Now, if he doesn't have back spasms, if they wanted to throw a defensive lineup in there, they could have put Urshela at third base and move Vierling out to right field, because nobody's looking at Ryan Vallade and saying this is our defensive guy. But I mean, all that is, that would be dissected heavily if this were a season that mattered at this point, which right now it doesn't really matter. Nope. It's unfortunate. They could have swept them. They didn't. But they got the series win and on to San Francisco.
Okay. And a story in the NFL just breaking at this hour. Juju Smith-Schuster has just been released by the New England Patriots. Veteran wide receiver. Was he like 28, 29 years old? The Lions are still looking for a third guy. Certainly nobody last night staked a claim to it. But then, you know, Khalif Raymond didn't play. Is this a player that the Lions should be interested in?
Well, he's 27. Last year, not a real season of consequence for him. Started 7 games, played in 11 for the Patriots. And only had 29 receptions for 260 yards. The year prior to that, he was with Kansas City. Played in 16 games, had 933 yards receiving. Before that, with Pittsburgh, 129 yards receiving, and then had an 800-yard receiving season. Second year in the league, this guy had over 1,400 yards. He was poised to be the guy, but there's something a little off with Juju Smith-Schuster, it seems.
Kang, what do you make of this? Any you make the call?
Not yet, but I think you keep an eye on it. And by then, it might be too late. You know, another team might pick him up, but I'm not running to the phone. It's interesting because you're going to get him for the minimum, it seems like. I think the Patriots are going to pay him $7 million fully guaranteed for this year, according to reports. So you'll get him for super cheap if you want him. If Juju's looking for, at that point, if he's getting his money from the Patriots, he might just be looking for a good team to latch onto, right? I know he's got his ring with Kansas City already, but at this point, play for another ring. It depends on how this thing shakes out with the Lions receiving core, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if DPJ is on his way out, if Fountain doesn't, it's too early for him. Hey, you're looking for a guy who can make tough catches. He might be your guy. Now, his skills aren't the same. I mean, he was never a burner anyways. So we'll see. Either, it's interesting. If the Patriots let go of him and they have to pay him all his money, did he say, get me out of here? Or is he that bad where they say, we'll just cut you?
Well, he's been dropping passes, apparently.
Okay, then he might be that bad.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, veteran player who, if he's on a terrible team and starts dropping passes, you always wonder a little bit how much of this is, what am I doing here? Is he at that point in his career where he's not particularly motivated? But I mean, this is a team the Lions team I'm talking about, is super big on culture and buy-in. So I don't think they're taking a chance on anybody if there is a shred of question about stuff like that. And you know, I'm not impugning, I'm going to be careful here. I'm not saying anything out of school with Juju Smith-Schuster, but.
So he has been released?
He has been released.
So keep in mind, he's been released by the Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think the Patriots want as many receivers as they can get to work with Drake May and the rest. And if they're letting him go, I guess he's been dealing with a knee injury since last year. So it could be a damaged goods situation on top of everything else. He's only 27, but his best year was his second year in the league. And it wasn't even close. He hasn't come within 500 yards of it.
As the receiver situation stands right now, again, they sat out their top three guys last night. And, you know, they did get playing time for Davis, who was targeted 4 times, had 1 catch. Fountain was targeted 3 times, had no catches. It's funny, when they signed Isaiah Williams, Gator, I know you were one that kind of jumped on board of this could be a find. And yet, it hasn't been much buzz about him, but he led him in receptions last night.
Yeah, well, he's one of the guys that made the most of his opportunity last night because I don't think played in the first half, but certainly played in the second half because he was the only guy catching the ball. Caught 4 passes. he led the Big Ten in receptions last year when he played at Illinois. So, and he caught a ton of passes in the last two seasons of his college career. So I think there is something there with him.
Mm-hmm.
I like Isaiah Williams too, Gator. I'm on board with that. The thing, only issue with him is, and this doesn't, you know, matter, but if you were looking to replace Josh Reynolds, that's, you know, he's not a bigger receiver, right? Which some people, you know, hey, we want that big receiver that can make contested catches. That's not Isaiah Williams' strong suit, but that doesn't mean he can't make the team. I'm reading more into this Juju stuff, guys, and it just seems like everyone saw this coming in New England. Like, he is just not doing well over there, and it was only a matter of time before he got released.
Well, then he probably isn't going to come here. I mean, if people could see it coming, that comes across as if he was either trying to get released or not getting the most out of what he used to have as ability. And I don't think they take a lot of chances. And I think last year's trade deadline is a perfect example of it. If they find they don't want to do anything that upsets the apple cart.
Right. Well, and they've got time to, I mean, I don't think there's this dire need to grab another receiver. I think it's probably wise to go with what you have right now, unless something obvious shakes out. But you go into the trade deadline and you still have some cap space to work with, that you'll utilize that at the trade deadline if you have to.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.